Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Moving to Orlando show. Coming up, we're going to talk about the 10 steps you need to know in the process of building a new home. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week, as always, by realtor Sean Falk.
Hi.
And not realtor, Corey Fiascanaro.
Welcome.
Behind the nook.
Behind the nook, here I am.
The man behind the camera.
Man behind the camera.
At least I remembered to introduce you this time.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I'm getting better with that. I usually just forget about
it. It's solid improvements. Progress.
So this week is actually going to be part one in a two-part series that Sean wanted to talk about based on his experiences stepping clients through the process of purchasing a new build home. We'll be getting a lot of folks interested in that. And so Sean thought, you know, these are the 10 steps you need to be aware of. We want to make sure we spend a good amount of time on them so that the information is relevant. So we decided just to break it up into two parts. So this is going to be part one in this series. So I'm going to turn it over to Sean and let him get started.
Cool. Yeah, so we do get a lot of people who want to build a new house and they've never built one before. It's always been resale and it's a little overwhelming. And this series that we're talking about is once you've chosen your house, chosen your lot, and you've given them some money to get started, what happens? Oh, because they'll say, oh, how long is it going to be? And they could say 7 months, they could say a year, just depending on which builder you're using and where we're at with, you know, materials and, you know, natural disasters affecting things and all that. So so these are the kind of the steps that take place after you've chosen these things and we've sat down at the table to figure out what's going on. So the first step is going to be permitting. Nothing is going to happen until permitting with the county is done. And that is why whenever we are going through the house, a lot of people will ask me, oh, I love this living room, but it's too big. And they, you know, this guest bedroom's here. Let's just move this wall out 2 feet. And so they get 2 feet of extra space in there. Or, oh, we'll just add a bathroom here. That's no problem. It is a problem because you're not going to get to do that. And it's because of county permitting. So before anything ever gets started, a lot of these, we say semi-custom builders a lot of the time on the show, and that's going to be most of the regular, you know, anywhere from Ryan Holmes, Lennar, Taylor Morrison, KB, Toll Brothers, whatever. They're going to be semi-custom, some more than others, but they are going to submit permitting blueprints to the county before they ever start the community, just to show these are what the blueprints for the homes can look like. They'll have a few structural options, like, oh, if you want to add another bedroom, bathroom, but they have to go in a very specific place because it's already been submitted to the county that these are approved. And if they had to change each individual thing for each person, nothing would get finished. Like, it would take years for anything to get done.
Yeah, no, they have approved blueprints and designs, and that's, you know, all been done, as you said, all been done with the county.
Yeah.
But yeah, could you imagine?
Oh, if, it would be every person,
like, no, I want my bathroom over here. It would be insane.
Exactly. And just the sheer number of people moving. I mean, you're thinking about your house with your builder, but every single builder in the entire county has to go through this one channel. And like the, you know, it's like being in traffic and there's just like a wreck and you're all trying to get through this one little bubble here. So it would be insane. There's no way they can do it. And if you've ever custom built a house, like fully custom, you know, it can take like a year or two to get it done because they have to do permitting at everything. And not only that, if you want to change everything, you have to sit down with an architect who charges by the hour and they are not cheap. And they have to redraw everything out and resubmit these blueprints and resubmit the filing for your permits and all that. Also, so like the day you choose, like whenever it is, if you're coming in and you're like, hey, Sean, come with me. We're going to Dreamfinder. We're going to Taylor Morrison, whatever. You're going to have to pick your structural upgrades that day when you are sitting there. So as soon as you hand in the money, you have to be ready to know every single structural change that you want and you can't change it. So this, when you leave, as soon as that gets submitted, if you try to pull that back, The builder's not going to do it because it costs them thousands of dollars to like to recall those plans and try to do that, because the city will charge them for submitting. They will charge them for taking them back out. They will charge them for resubmitting it. So I have seen people be able to really push and get an edit done, but it usually costs about $2,500 to $3,000 to pull your permits, put them back. And then you also have to pay for whatever the upgrade you want it is. So you really need to know. And I usually will sit with people and say, hey, let's talk about your job. Let's talk about your lifestyle. Like, what is it that you need done? Because you can't pop back up later and say, oh, we wanted like four more recessed lights in here. And they're not on the file.
And this is one of the reasons why we say it's not just self-serving, that we say why it's important to go with a realtor who knows what they're doing when you're going to buy a new build. Some people will say, oh, we don't need, you know, we just go and just deal with the builder. We don't have to go through that. First of all, the realtor doesn't cost you any money, right? You're not paying extra because there's a realtor there. Number two, who would go in to a situation like that where you are completely dependent on the opposite side for this, right? Because you want somebody that's going to be watching out for your best interests. And, you know, and Sean does. Sean will sit for hours with clients going into new builds. And really, with any, he knows each of the builders, most of them, most of them you've worked with now.
Yeah.
And knows kind of what the ins and outs are. You don't want to figure that out after the fact, after you've signed papers. So having somebody in your corner that you don't have to pay for, I want to really reiterate that. It doesn't cost you a dime to have a realtor there with you to help answer some questions that may not be the answers that the builder is going to give you. It may not be, you know, it's builder's there to sell a house. You know, your realtor is there to make sure you buy the right one and that you're stepped through this process. So I just wanted to make sure we...
Yeah, and a lot of it can be, you know, for example, I went with somebody to do a new build 2 days ago. We sat down. They had no idea they were going to buy this home. We walked in and they got a little overwhelmed, I believe. I'm sure they were overwhelmed at like the position of an hour earlier. We were just walking the model to here we are sitting, picking up, you know, picking structural changes that they're going to make to this house. So we really had to pick and choose which way they wanted to go. And so, you know, for them, I'm like, they wanted a home office, but there wasn't a proper home office. So they wanted to use like the upstairs loft area. So I'm like, hey, let's not get the structural upgrade of taking the wall. So like there's a solid wall, but in model homes, they usually have it as a like railing so that you can see that. I'm like, maybe you don't need that, because leave it as a solid wall to keep noise down. Just because like everyone's downstairs, if they're watching TV, it's going to be noisy upstairs. Keep it as a solid wall. It's going to give you more electrical outlets. It's going to give you, you know, all these different things. Now that more people are working at home in offices, it's a good idea to put extra recessed lighting inside your office. Because if you're going to be on camera and on Zoom meetings and stuff, you can get better lighting. And it's going to look weird if you've ever just had like a fan in the middle of the room, your light's not as good as it is having recessed. So if I know where your office is going to be, I'm like, hey, it's a $400 upgrade to get four recessed lights. Probably a good idea. And this is the room to choose it in, and this is the last chance you're going to get to pick this. So it's, and that's because of the permitting. It gets very complicated with the county. So second step is the foundation. So once everything has come back from the county, and that can take a while, like it literally can take like 6 weeks to possibly even a couple months, just depending on where they are in the process. So that's part of why nothing seems to be happening at the beginning, but it is. So next is laying foundation. So the actual building crew is going to come to your plot of land that you've chosen, and you don't get a say on where the house is going to be. So like, let's say you get a house that's a lot that's 65 feet wide and 180 feet deep. It does happen. Most are going to be like 120 feet deep. You may say, hey, I really like my house being, I want a big backyard and I don't need any front yard. So like, let's just build it like right up against the sidewalk. We can walk right in. And then I have a bigger backyard. You can't do that. So they're not going to let you. They're going to put it in the place that makes the most sense. And I've heard people say, oh, I want to push it all the way to the back so I have more space, because maybe it's like a pie-shaped lot. So I have more space. No, they're not going to do that either. Like they really try to make the community look as good as it can. So that's when they're going to choose, hey, this is where the lot's going, or this is where the house is going to go on the lot. And we need to get ready to pour some concrete. And of course, Florida is pretty much just dirt and sand. So, which is why we have to do everything on concrete slab. That's why we don't have basements, because it's on concrete slab and we have to put something solid there. So they'll put down footings, and then that's going to be so they can put the metal rebar in and get everything hooked up and connected. And they'll also lay the very basics of like electrical water lines and HVAC systems. That's like, so they'll have cutouts in the foundation for the very large core portions of it, but it's not, obviously there's no home yet for it to connect into. But they need somewhere to connect eventually. So that's the foundation stage. And that can vary on when it takes place. But they will do that. And then they have to have an inspection done on it to make sure that it's up to county code. So with each step, they have to have somebody inspect it. And that's why they usually will tell you, you can bring your own inspector. If you want to get an outside inspector, that's fine. But the county makes us do like 20 inspections through this process. So like, they're not going to pay for that for you. They do want you to do it on your own for that. So the next is going to be framing. So now that everything's dried with the concrete, so now you need to frame the house so you have an actual structure based on what you wanted. And that is going, the bottom floor here in Florida is going to be cinder block. So you're going to have cinder block everywhere. And some builders will fill the cinder block, and that's something you can pay for as an upgrade, and you do need to choose it at structural. So I'll usually ask you, do you want your cinder block filled? And it's like a foam that they put in it, and it helps with insulation, it helps with noise reduction. So some people always say, oh, I'm worried about being too close to the house next door, and some of that spacing, some of it's noise, but if you fill those, that really helps. And it really helps with keeping air conditioning costs down, just because it's better insulated.
Never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Yep. Never would have thought of that.
Yep. So that's the time. So at the desk, that's the time.
Yeah, you can't go back and do it.
You can't go back and ask to fill them. So, and that is one of those things where you can't, I don't even know that you could get someone to do it after. Because the way they have to lay the actual squares as they're doing it. The block, like if they're not filled, you can't go back at all. So it's just done. And if you get a second story, most builders in Florida, the second floor is wood. So it will be wood framing like you're used to seeing more so in like the Northeast and maybe the Midwest. So here, second story is that. But there are a few builders who do concrete block as the second story also. MI comes to mind, like MI Builders. I believe they do second story concrete. And I think they automatically fill theirs. So like that's just like a pre, they just fill all of theirs as part of the home buying process with them. So they'll frame it, and then they'll also like get the basics of the roof going too. Because obviously as we start adding stuff, if it rains, it's Florida, we don't want stuff to get wet as we go. So that's the basics of framing. And then once it's done and the county comes back and says, yep, you're good to go, that's when they're going to start. So you'll have all these like wood, you know, just empty wood spaces throughout the interior of the house. And then they will come in and they'll start running electrical wiring. They'll run water lines. They'll run your HVAC system. They'll connect it into the foundation, cover it, and then they will start running it everywhere it needs to go. So if you have water lines, that's why we have to know it's structural, where you want the bathroom. So like, oh, you wanted that for the half bath, or you wanted this and you were hoping to get it in a certain location. that's why it has to be done then, because they need to relay this to them to say, hey, you, this is where it needs to go. And it's good for you to be familiarized with your home. And most builders are really great with you coming to see your house as it's getting built. They want you to come to the office and tell them, hey, by the way, I'm here. And I, so they can give you hard hats and stuff so that you're not in a dangerous place, in a dangerous situation, but you can go and check it out. And sometimes there are things that you'll see that pop up. I had a build, that back at the end of last year, and we went and we saw that they had used red wiring for two plumbing spots and like coming out of the same wall. And we're like, where is this going? What is this? And they said, oh, it's out of the sink. And we're like, our boat red is for hot water, correct? And they were like, yeah, we use clear for cold water. And we use red for hot. And like, but both of these are red. And they're like, yeah, we ran out of clear. So like, we just used red on both sides. And I'm like, but that's not good, because it later on, if there's a plumbing issue, once we go into the drywall, the plumber is going to see two red lines and not know which one is the hot and which one was the cold. And then that's how you get in that situation where you go in places and like you turn on the hot, but it's cold, and you turn on the cold, but it's hot. Like that's how that happens. So you just want to catch it on the front end. So checking out your new build, like as it goes. And I know Pete, you had said that like Bob was like on his.
Okay. So yeah, here, for those people who, have been following the Diz and the Diz Unplugged from back in the beginning. The man who this studio is named for, Bob Varley, my late friend who passed away in 2008, I think it was. He built a house in Claremont, and I want to say that was in 2000. And when they were like, I mean, that, back in those days, you know, which go back 21 years, Claremont was not very developed. I mean, there were, you know, communities and houses and stuff. I'm not saying it was just, you know, the frontier, but a lot of new build communities going up in Claremont. And that's where Bob built. And he literally moved down here, rented an apartment so that he could go every single day, every single day to that site, and was constantly saying, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and what about this? And you had to know Bob, okay? You had to know Bob. And they wanted him dead. They wanted him dead. He drove them insane.
Oh, I'm sure.
With that. But ended up with a beautiful house.
Oh, yeah. Yep, so I wouldn't say you have to go every day, but I would say, you know, come check it out once every now and then, like check it out. Ask me to go check it out. I can go do video or something, but like, or we can get an outside inspector and they will go before drywall, which is the next phase. So if you do hire an inspector, I do have an inspector that does it. You have to have a certain amount of insurance. I believe it's $1 million worth of insurance. So it's a very, very high bar to like get.
Who has to have the insurance?
The inspector.
Oh. Oh, the Sorry. Inspector.
Yep, the inspector okay. has about $1 million. Usually, most builders, it's $1 million is what they ask. So, in coverage. So.
And what kind of expense is that if somebody wanted to have an outside inspector go and do this?
Pre-drywall inspection's about $300 maybe. So, about $250, $300. They'll come then. And then they'll also, like, my guy will come back afterwards, like after the home's built, just to recheck in and like make sure it still looks fine. But pre-drywall is a good time to do that if your builder will let you. Some won't, but most will let you do it as long as we get their paperwork in before the drywall starts going up. But it's a pretty good gap of time between everything we've done so far and then them actually showing up to put drywall. So we're going to do drywall and exteriors as our last step for this video. So that's a fifth step. They will come hang drywall because they need to now cover up all this wiring and electrical and all that stuff, especially with the rain coming in and all that. They're going to go and stucco the outside of it, but there won't be windows yet. So they do want to they'll start slowly adding in windows like as they get them. But they do want to get that stucco done, and they do want to go ahead and get the drywall in the house so you can start seeing the finished product come together a little bit. And then also if you get an elevation on the outside, well, you have to get an elevation, but if you get a special one, which is the frontage of the house. And so that's why you'll see some homes in a neighborhood that this one looks plain. And then the next one, they're like, oh, that one has a little front porch. And then that one has a little front porch and it's got stone or brick along the bottom. That's because they chose a different frontage for the home. And usually it's like elevation A, B, C, whatever. If you want that stonework and a little bit of a porch, it's like $8,000. Like this is not like the changing that front to your house is not cheap. So it really can cost some upgrades to like get the prettier look and all that. So that's what they're going to work on then. And also color scheme as well, which you also normally have to choose your color scheme for your house at the structural choice. Which
and there will be limitations on what colors you can pick.
Exactly.
So if you really, you know, if you want to go for the Pepto-Bismol pink look, you might have trouble in most communities.
Yep.
So they'll have a set palette that you're allowed to choose from, right?
Yep. There's usually about 20 choices depending on the builder. Some builders let you choose it at design studio, which is like way later in the process. And that's great because you have more time to think about it. But some want it done at structural. And so if they want you to choose it then, they will get things started and they'll give you like 2 or 3 days of a gap before they send your stuff to permitting so that they can have you choose your color, because you can't choose the same color scheme as another person. So to your left, right, or across. So like if they started building first and they choose their color scheme first before you, literally just ran into this last week where like somebody had really preset, they're building with MI, and MI lets you pick at design studio, not in structural. So even though we started building first, another person was able to get an earlier design center appointment than we were. So when they showed up to the design center, they chose the color scheme for their outside of their house that my people wanted to choose. So then my people were out of luck because that color scheme is gone. They're the house next door, and you couldn't have the exact same house with the exact like gray and black, you know, gray house with black shutters as a thing. So they had to choose something else. So we went to the neighborhood and drove around to see what other color palettes look like. It's fine to pick something else that's in the neighborhood. It just can't be next door. So that's a good way of doing that beforehand. Drive around and see like, oh, that's a really pretty color scheme. And usually it's like the stucco, the trim, and then the shutters are like the three things you're mainly looking for. So yep, that's where we're at. That's halfway through. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's step 5.
So you get an idea why we wanted to break this up into 2 parts.
Oh,
because
yeah,
there's a lot of information there. And just a reminder, if you are interested in getting a new build here in the Central Florida area or any home at all, you can always reach out to Sean, S-E-A-N, at movingtoorlando.com, or head over to movingtoorlando.com and fill out our contact form, and one of our agents will get in touch with you. But that'll do it for this week's episode of the Moving to Orlando show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week with part 2 of the 10 steps in the new build process. Have a great week, folks.